Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60, Chapter entitled Krishna Teases Rukmini, Text number 25 onwards. Tad. Dvishtva Bhagavan
Krishna
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam Asya Prodim Ajanantya Karuna So Anvakampata Tadvishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Tadvishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Karuna Son Vakampata
Karuna Son Vakampata
Tadrishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Tadrishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Karuna Son Vakampata
Karuna Son Vakampata
Tadrishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Tadrishtva Bhagavan Krishna
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Priyaya Prema Bandhanam
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Asya Prodim Ajanantya
Karuna Son Vakampata
Karuna Son Vakampata
This.
Dushtva.
Sing.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Lord.
Krishna.
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 Sing. Priyaya.
Priyaya.
Of his beloved.
Prema.
Prema. By pure love of God.
By pure love of God.
Bandhanam,
Bandhanam,
the bondage.
Asya,
of his joking.
Prodim,
the full import.
Ajanantya,
who could not comprehend.
Karuna,
merciful.
Saha,
he. Anvakampata
felt compassion.
Translation of Prabhupada by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Seeing that his beloved was so bound to him in love that she could not understand the full meaning of his teasing, merciful Lord Krishna felt compassion for her. Translation responsibly.
Seeing that his beloved
was so bound to him
in love
that she could not understand
the full meaning of his teasing
merciful Lord Krishna
felt compassion for her. Text 26.
The Lord quickly got down from the bed, manifesting four arms. He picked her up, gathered her hair, and caressed her face with his lotus hand. Purport. The Lord manifested four hands so he could do all these things simultaneously. Text 27 and 28. Wiping her tear-filled eyes and her breasts, which were stained by tears of grief, the Supreme Lord, the goal of his devotees, embraced his chaste wife, who desired nothing but him. O King, expert in the art of pacification, Sri Krishna tenderly consoled pitiable Rukmini, whose mind was bewildered by his clever joking and who did not deserve to suffer so. Text 29. The Supreme Lord said, O Vaidarbhi, do not be displeased with me. I know that you are fully devoted to me. I only spoke in jest, dear lady, because I wanted to hear what you would say. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Lord Krishna spoke the present verse because he thought that lovely Rukmini might be afraid he would again say something to disturb her, or that she might be angry at what he had done. Text 30. I also wanted to see your face with lips trembling in loving anger, the reddish corners of your eyes throwing sidelong glances, and the line of your beautiful eyebrows knit in a frown. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that here, that normally, by the Lord's transcendental desire, his pure devotees reciprocate with him in such a way that they satisfy his spiritual desires. But Rukmini's love was so strong that her unique mood predominated in this situation. And thus, instead of becoming angry, she fainted and fell to the ground. Far from displeasing Krishna, however, she increased his transcendental ecstasy by exhibiting her all-encompassing love for him. Text 31. The greatest pleasure worldly householders can enjoy at home is to spend time joking with their beloved wives, my dear timid and temperamental one. Purport. The word Bhamini indicates an angry, passionate, temperamental woman. Since lovely Rukmini did not become angry despite all provocation, the Lord is still speaking. Facetiously. Omagyan, Timanandasya, Ginanjana Chalakaya, Chakshun, Militam Yena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave, Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitam Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swa, Padantikam. Vancha Kalpatu Rubyascha, Kripa Sindupi Evacha, Petitanam Pavanebhyo. Vaishna Vebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a very wonderful pastime in the Bhagavatam. In this particular pastime, Lord Krishna is... Krishna, one of his names, is Rasa Raj. And he also has names like Rasika Shekhar. So these names mean that Krishna is the one who enjoys Rasa. Or he is the king of those who enjoy mellows, Rasa Raj. Means the king of one who enjoys mellow. A rasika shekhar means like the best of rasikas, or the person who can enjoy rasa more than anyone. So what is this word rasa? What does it mean? Rasa. Nectar. Nectar? Yeah. Mellow? Yeah. Prabhupada translates it as mellow. Taste? Yeah. Yeah. Taste, mellow. Relationship, yeah, right, relationship. So, if we look at this word rasa, because in Sanskrit the words have many meanings, like that. One word can convey many meanings, or subtle has subtle nuances of meaning. Then the word rasa means juice. That's one meaning of the word rasa. So just like you have ras gula, right? It means juicy gula. Right? Or you have ras malai. It means juicy malai. Right? If you just got malai, or you just got gula, right? How would it be? What would the experience be? If someone offered you a gula or a malai without ras, then what's the experience? It's dry. Right? It's dry. It's not pleasant. Right? Imagine just eating like a dry gula. or a dry malai, right? Without the juice. It's the juice which makes it the experience pleasant or pleasurable. The pleasure comes from the juice. Just like when the vegetables get their juice from the moonlight, right? From the moon, right? So the rasa, right, or the juice comes from the moon, right? So therefore in Vedic times and also in other, you see all around the world in the ancient cultures, that when they plant the vegetables, they plant it according to the lunar schedule, right? When the moon is like full, then the moon is giving the most potency, then you'll get the juiciest. Usually they plant the crops just before the full moon or on the full moon, and then the vegetables will get the juice. So without the juice, there's no pleasure in the vegetables, right? Just like if someone offers you dry broccoli, right, or dried up, you know, just think any vegetable and it's all dried up, and it's not palatable, it's not pleasurable, right? So you need juice in order to enjoy, right? This is called rasa, right? So rasa means taste, mellow, right? The pleasure, right? What Krishna extracts from the relationship, this is called rasa, right? And this is where pleasure is found. Without rasa, there is no pleasure in life. And this is something that even in the material world, you have to learn. Because as we explained in a few of our classes previously, the material world is an incredibly boring place. Right? It's not a very pleasant place here. No? It's not full of rasa. Right? It's boring. It's stagnant. It's stale. It's that there's not pleasure in the material world. Now, you have to learn. You have to learn in life, what to speak of in spiritual life, that to extract pleasure, you can be in the most boring place in the world. Just like if you think to yourself, what is the most boring place in the world to you? What is the most boring place that you could be? Right now,
casino.
The casino, yeah, that would bore the hell out of you. Yeah. Okay, the casino, yeah.
Going to your job,
right? That is the most boring thing you could do. Where do you work?
Coles.
There you go. Like that. Coles, just full of nectar. That place. Okay. Any other places? The most boring place.
In-laws.
Your in-laws, right? Yeah. Sometimes you go to your in-laws. It's the epitome of material like torture and suffering. Unpleasant. Where else?
The bank.
Yeah, sometimes you're in the bank, just completely boring, waiting in lines. Whenever you have to wait in a queue, right, just monotonous. Or a traffic jam. Just like, you know, 8 o'clock now, go out onto the Westgate Bridge now, right? It is just as a traffic jam right now. Right? So imagine being in a traffic jam right now. Right? There's no pleasure there. So you have to understand in life, the material world's a boring place, right? It's a place where there is not rasa. So where does rasa come from? Right? How do we get through being in this material world? Right? You have to extract rasa. Right? Even in the most boring places, right, you can be experiencing the highest rasa. Right? Now where does rasa come from? It comes from relationships. Right? In relationships, that's where rasa is churned. Just like Prabhupada explains, if you ever see a picture of Krishna by himself, then that is not Krishna. Right? If you look in all the pictures of Krishna on all around the, or if you look on the altar, wherever you see Krishna, you see devotees. Like you see in the picture, you see Krishna with the calf or the cow and the cowherd boys. You see Krishna with Srimati Radharani. Right? You see Krishna with calves and cows there. Or Balaram with the gopis, like that. The devotees, Krishna always is surrounded by devotees. Why? He's never by himself. If he wanted to be by himself, he would be by himself. He's God. He's God. He's the all-powerful personality. There is nothing which is beyond his control. So if he wanted to be by himself, he would be. Right? Sometimes we hear that Krishna, one of his names is Atma Rama, which means self-satisfied. Right? So if Krishna is self-satisfied, why is he always surrounded by devotees? Right? Because Krishna is the most intelligent personality. And Krishna understands what's better. Right? Because he can do whatever he wants. Right? So what's better, to be with devotees or to be by himself? Krishna understands it's better to be with devotees. So even though he may be called Atmaram or self-satisfied, he prefers to be with the devotees. So he's always with the devotees, always. Right? So this is Krishna's nature. Right? So even if we're in the most boring place, if you have relationships with people, you can only just be with one other person. If you have a relationship with that person, you can churn ras. And we have to learn this in life, how to churn ras. Right? This is the nature. Just to get through the material world, you have to churn ras. Right? What to speak of spiritual life. But even just to get through the material world, if you don't churn ras, there's no, it's just dry. Right? And that's why, you know, the biggest, you know, practically they're saying the biggest disease in the world very soon, if it isn't already, is mental disease. Right? And one of the biggest mental diseases is depression. Right? People are depressed, they commit suicide, all these things. Why? Because unable to churn the ras. Or for some reason, you know, they feel they cannot churn the ras. But if you churn the ras, then everything becomes... Just like on Saturday, I had one of the most boring experiences of my life. Right? 37 years in this material world. Right? If I think of all the days that I've had here, 37 times 365, what's that?
A lot.
A lot. Like that. So, 37, that's like 3,000 days, 9,000. I've been alive about 10,000 days in this body. Right? About 10,000 days. On Saturday, I had one of those boring days of my life. Right? Had to move all of my furniture, right, my whole house, from my house in Little Page Street down to New Nundagram. All my furniture had to move down there. Boring, right? Just monotonous, boring, unpleasant, hard physical work, tiring, right? Had to pack it all into the back of a truck, right? Drive it all the way down to New Nundagram, right? Take all the furniture out of the house that was already at New Nundagram, then put all that furniture in, and then put all the furniture that was in their house in some other place, and then drive back in one day. Jai. But actually, it was fairly pleasant, right? And why was it pleasant? Because we were churning ras, right? My brother Christian, right, who was a great rasika, a great churner of ras, right? Very pleasant person for me to be with, right? And Prabhu Charan and Veda Priya, like that, we were together and we were just joking and mucking around and goofing off sometimes and picking on each other, you know, and like arguing, like, you know, like in a humorous way, you know, like, you know, Prabhu Charan would stack something and Krishna would say, you know, don't stack it like that, you know, it'd be much better if you stacked it like this. And then Prabhu Charan would say, what are you talking about, you know, and then Krishna would say to him, you know, what do we expect from someone from Croatia, right? And then he'd say, well, better than someone from, you know, someone from Australia, you know, highly intelligent Australia, like that. So we're just churning rasa, you know, we're just laughing, so it was quite pleasant. Right? So that is how to enjoy. Right? You have to churn rasa. So even in the material world, you have to churn ras. If there's no ras, life just becomes intolerable. Right? So you have to have relationships and you have to learn to churn ras like that. Now, that's the material world. Even to get through the material world, you need to churn ras. But if you want to go into the spiritual world, right? Then, if you go into the spiritual world, then if you can qualify yourself to get there, then you'll come in association with Rasa Raj, right? With the king of those who churn ras, right? His name is?
God.
Yes, his name is God. Amen. His name is God. Yes, God. Yeah, his name is not God. His name is Krishna. Like that. He is the churner of ras. He's Rasa Raj, Rasika Shekhar, right? He's the greatest churner of ras, right? To experience relationship with Krishna directly, and Prabhupada said that's what it means to become Krishna conscious. It means to relate to God face to face. Prabhupada says just like we're seeing each other now, it means to face to face with Krishna. Prabhupada says just like Mother Yashoda is relating to Krishna. That is what it means to get Krishna's association in the spiritual world. If we can qualify ourselves and go back to the spiritual world, then we can associate with Krishna. who is the greatest churner of rasa. And you'll see here in this pastime, this chapter is called chapter 60 of the 10th canto.
Krishna teases Rukmini.
Krishna teases Rukmini. Right? Hands up if you like being teased. Hands up, you like it? Okay, then we'll start teasing you. See if you like it. Right. So, if you like being teased, right? But there is a pleasure being teased by those who love you. Right? If you have great affection between two people, there's great pleasure in being teased.
Right? I used to say to people, any attention is better than no attention. So sometimes the teasing, if you're not getting any attention, you get some sort of recognition.
Yeah. And if you have a great affection, or if there's a very deep relationship between two people, then teasing is very sweet, right? And you had better get used to it, because when you get back to the spiritual world, Krishna's going to tease you all the time. That's all he does. Right? He's a real stirrer, right? He doesn't stop, especially in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, he just does not stop. Right? He's just always teasing the devotees. It's continuous. Just like you read in the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna's getting dressed in the morning by Mother Yashoda, and some of the cowherd boys come, the younger cowherd boys, they come, and they stand at the door. And Mother Yashoda sees them, and she calls them in. She says, come in. Come in and help me dress Krishna. So they come in, they help dress Krishna, and some of the young cowherd boys, they're putting the ankle bells around Krishna's feet. So they're bending down, putting the ankle bell, and Krishna's hitting them on the head with his flute. Yeah. They put them on properly. Right? Churning the rust. This is Krishna. So here we see, in this pastime, he's in Dwarka with Rukmini. And out of his 16,108 queens, Rukmini is the principal. She is the number one queen. So Krishna is churning rasa with Rukmini. So he's teasing Rukmini. Right? So Rukmini, she's married to Krishna. And she's fanning Krishna with a chamara. And then Krishna says, why did you marry me anyway? And Rukmini is very puzzled, like, why would he say that? And why did you marry me anyway? He said, you could have married so many other princes. So many other princes more qualified than me. You could have married Shishupal. Right? You could have married, you know, this one. You could have married that one. You could have married this one. Right? Why didn't you marry them? And Rukmini is like beside herself. Right? Because she loves Krishna so much. She's just, how could Krishna even say this? Right? And Krishna keeps just poking her and teasing her and teasing her, and he said, I think you married the wrong person. Right? I'm not such a qualified person. Right? I have such a unknown background. Right? People don't even know which varna I come from. Right? Right? When I was young, I had a very bad reputation. Right? I used to do so many things when I was a young person in Vrindavan. Why did you marry me? You married someone who didn't even have a very good reputation. At least you should have married one of those good kshatriyas, like Shishupal, or one of those, you know, nice kshatriyas, right? So she's just beside herself. She almost faints. She's just so overcome. And she says to Krishna, she says, why would I marry a man whose body is made out of material elements? Right? Whose body is made out of mucus, bile, and air, which is made out of hair, which is made out of bone, blood, marrow, right? If you want to get really into it, stool, urine, right? Why would I be attracted to someone who has a body like that when I can marry you, who has a body which is Satchid Ananda Vigraha, right? Which is made out of spirit, eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Why would I be attracted to them when I could be attracted to you? So this is an important philosophical point that Rukmini is making at that point. Why should we sell ourselves short? Why should we be attracted to something in this world which is made of material elements, which are apara prakriti, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the inferior energy of God? Right? Why should we become attracted to some woman or become attracted to some man and attached to some material body when we could become attached to Krishna? Right? His spiritual form. And by becoming attached to Krishna's spiritual form, we can also get a spiritual form ourselves. But if we remain attached to material forms in this world, then you have to take a material form yourself. Right? If you are attached, you want to enjoy a material form, you need a material form. Right? If you want to enjoy matter, then you have to get a material body. Right? If you want to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, then you'll get a spiritual body. So this is the philosophy which Rukmini is teaching us. So Krishna begins to poke her, and he's teasing her more and more, but then he sees that she is just falling apart. Right? It says that she becomes so upset with the way Krishna is speaking to her that her whole body just begins to like emaciate practically before his eyes. Right? It says that her body just becomes, she's become so stricken by his words that she practically begins to collapse, just like a tree in the wind, just falls over. So Krishna sees, oh, Rukmini is not understanding that I'm joking. Because Krishna is just joking. He doesn't mean it. Right? He doesn't say, he's not actually saying to Rukmini, you know, why did you go and marry Shishupal? Right? She's the eternal goddess of fortune. She's his eternal consort. So he's never going to say to her, you know, why don't you marry somebody? He's just having some fun. But she didn't take it that way because, it's explained here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and the other acharyas, that Rukmini is... her love for Krishna in this instant overwhelmed the rasa. In other words, usually the devotee will exchange the rasa with Krishna, understanding Krishna's intent or Krishna's desire. In other words, if Krishna starts playing with them and teasing them, just like if you see in Vrindavan, in Brajalila, you'll see that when Krishna begins to argue with the gopis, what do the gopis do back to Krishna? What is Radharani and Lalita and Vishakha? If Krishna begins to tease them, then how do they react or respond to Krishna? They begin to come back at him, like that. Especially some of the gopis, like Lalita. Right? You see on the altar, like in, if you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, or if you go to Mayapur, Chandradaya Mandir in Mayapur, and you'll see next to Radha and Krishna there are the gopis. Right? Lalita and Vishakha, or in Mayapur you'll see there are the eight gopis, the Ashtasakhis. So Lalita, she is older than Radharani, a little older than Radharani, I think by about 28 days, or actually her appearance day is just before Radhashtami, so maybe she's 1 year older than Radharani, like that. A little older than Radharani, and she, when Lalita speaks, because she is like the guru of Radharani, and when she speaks, sometimes even Radha and Krishna tremble. Right? Sometimes Radharani is about, she hears Krishna playing the flute. And when Krishna plays his flute, what do the devotees hear? When Krishna plays the flute in Vrindavan, what do the devotees hear? The sound coming, but they hear their names. Right? When Krishna plays his flute, he says in the flute song, he says Radharani. Radharani, as he's playing the flute. So she hears his name, hear a name being called. And all the gopis will hear their names being called by Krishna. So then, hearing their name being called, then Radharani, she just immediately gets up, whatever she's doing, and she just rushes to be with Krishna. So it describes in the Nectar of Devotion, when Radharani hears Krishna's flute being played and she hears her name being called, then she puts her ankle bells on her wrists, right? And she puts her like the top piece of her like top piece around her bottom, right? And she puts her cudgel or her black eyeliner, her mascara, she starts putting in her feet, right? And the red luck, or the red, like the kumkum, which she puts on her feet, she starts putting that on her face. Right? She becomes totally bewildered. Right? She's just so anxious to be with Krishna, she wants to just rush and be with Krishna, that she just starts, you know, dressing herself. And Lalita chastises her. She says, hey, Sakhi, right, my friend, right, do not go and run into the forest like this. If you're going to go and see Nanda Nandana, if you're going to go and see the son of Nanda Maharaj, then you must dress appropriately. Right? So you just slow down here. Right? Just sit down and you dress yourself properly, and then we'll go and see Krishna in the forest. So she, even Radharani follows Lalita. Right? And then Krishna, sometimes Krishna, he picks a quarrel with Radharani and the gopis. Just like there's one place at Govardhan Hill called Dhangati. And at that place, this is where Krishna performs the tax pastime with the gopis. So the gopis, this is in Govardhan Hill, everyone knows, devotees know where Dhangati is? You know where the ISKCON Palace is? Like that? Just down from the ISKCON Palace, there's a place called Dhangati, just near the township of Govardhan. And this is where Govardhan Hill goes up, and then like in the middle comes down, like there's a very low place on Govardhan Hill. So that's the place where the gopis used to pass over, Govardhan Hill, with all their milk products. So they carry their milk on their head, their butter and their yogurt and the milk, and they're carrying it on their head, and they're going over Govardhan Hill at this place. And then Krishna, he would hear that the gopis are coming, so he would go and, with some of his cowherd boys, they would go and they would form a, how do you call it? Like a
barricade?
Yeah, like a barricade, like that. They came and made like a tax collection party. Right? So then all the gopis are about to cross over the hill, and then they'd see Krishna standing there. And as soon as they see Krishna, their hairs stand on end in ecstasy. There's Krishna. Now we can have some rasa with Krishna. We can have some pastime with Krishna. We can give Krishna pleasure. So they act, because they're left-wing gopis. Radharani and her group are left-wing gopis. Means they're always Bama, which means they're always contrary to Krishna. They're unsubmissive to Krishna. Right? They'll never submit to him. Right? So therefore, when Krishna stops them, then they see him, they become very happy, and they start looking at each other out of the corners of their eyes with smiles. They're very happy, but when they see him, right, they're very unsubmissive. So then they walk up towards Krishna, and Krishna says, okay, every day all of your gopis are passing by this place with all of your milk products, but you don't pay any tax. So today you have to pay tax. And then they say to Krishna, so who are you? And he says, I am the king of Braj. I am the king of all this land of Braj, of Vrindavan. Right? So therefore you have to pay tax to me. Right? And then Lalita gets really angry. Right? And she stands up the front, even in front of Radharani, she stands up and she says, you think you're the king of Braj? Right? She says, Radharani is the queen of Braj. Right? So you pay tax to her. Right? And Krishna says, he says, no. He said, I am the king of Braj, so you'll pay tax to me. Right? And then they said, Lalita says, well, actually, Vrindavan belongs to Vrinda Devi, right? Who is Tulsi Devi. Right? So Vrindavan belongs to Vrinda Devi. And Vrinda Devi gave Vrindavan in charity to Radharani. So therefore Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. So then Krishna says, well, actually, Vrinda Devi is my wife. So everything that belongs to the wife belongs to the husband, so therefore Vrindavan's mine, so you pay tax. So all the gopis begin to clap their hands, and they begin to laugh, and they say, oh, this is a good one. Right? That Vrinda Devi is your wife. We never heard of any marriage between you and Vrinda Devi. And Krishna says, then go and ask her. So the gopis begin to laugh and clap, and they run off and they find Vrinda Devi, and they say, Krishna says that you are his wife, that you two are married. You had a marriage ceremony. And Vrinda Devi says, I would never marry a black person like that. Said, I would never marry a naughty black person like that. No hope. So all the gopis begin to laugh and clap, and they come back. Right? And then Lalita says to Krishna, he says, well, Vrinda Devi just told us she'd never marry a naughty black person like you. And Krishna says, anyway, I don't care what anyone says. I am the king. This is my place, right? And you'll pay tax to me. So then the gopis charge. All the gopis, they charge towards Krishna and the cowboys, and the Krishna and the cowboys charge back, and there's a big fight. All the milk pots are falling on the ground, smashing, and it's going big. Get a big fight going on. So why do they do this? Because it gives Krishna pleasure. Right? It gives Krishna satisfaction. Right? Krishna wants to exchange ras. Right? And the devotees want Krishna to be happy, so they want to exchange rasa with Krishna. So therefore these pastimes go on. But here we see in this pastime in Dwarka with Rukmini, then Krishna wants to tease her and have some rasa, but the acharyas explain that her love for Krishna totally overcomes her, even her, she knows that Krishna wants to enjoy rasa, but because she has so much love for Krishna and that is overwhelming, right, even her desire to serve Krishna, to give him pleasure and rasa, you know, her desire to be submissive to Krishna, which is her nature, is Rukmini. Rukmini is an expansion of Chandravali. So her nature is to be submissive to Krishna. Because her, like her constitutional stahi bhav, or her constitutional swarup, or her eternal relationship with Krishna is to be like that, she cannot break that love, or she cannot break that mood. She cannot break that submission towards Krishna at this point in time. She just wants to love Krishna in that mood. So that's even overcoming her desire to give pleasure to Krishna in the exchange. So then Krishna understands, he sees that her love is so intense, then his heart melts. He's having some jokes with her and he says, why don't you marry someone else? But then he sees that her love is so intense and she just wants to be submissive to him, then he changes the mood. And then you see in these verses, he becomes very compassionate to her. He said, I'm just joking. Like that. And then in order to satisfy her, he expands two extra arms. And then with four arms, he takes Rukmini, right, and he begins to caress her hair like that, right, and then wipe away her eyes like that with his four arms. So much that he wants to reciprocate with his devotee that he expands two extra arms just to give her, just to express his compassion towards her. So Prabhupada would explain to us that if Krishna wants to give you something, right, you cannot take what he will give you because you only have two arms. But when Krishna gives you something, it's like he gives you with 10 hands, right? And if Krishna wants to take something away from you, Prabhupada would explain that with your two arms, what can you do? Like if you're very attached and you're very attached, you'll say no. If someone's got 10 arms, what can you do? Right? You're holding onto the table. They've got 8 arms on the table, and the other 2 arms, they slap you on the head. And then you have to, like, you know, and then they take. So that is Krishna. If he wants to take, what can you do? And if Krishna wants to give, you cannot receive. Right? If Krishna wants to give you his mercy, what can we take? We can only take, you know, Krishna just gives you so much mercy. So this is Krishna. He wants to exchange rasa with his devotees. So this is what it is like in the spiritual world. Just like before, we're talking about the God and we're talking about the Bible. You know, if you read the Bible and you hear about God, you go to church, you won't hear all this kind of thing, right? In church, in the Bible, it just says God is sitting on the throne. You know, one time Tamal Krishnamurti said to one of the priests or bishops in the Catholic Church, he said, does God ever get off the throne? Tamal Krishnamurti said, what is God doing in the spiritual world? And the priest said, he's sitting on the throne. That's what he said. And Tamal Krishnamurti said, does he ever get off the throne? And the priest said, we would imagine he does, but we do not know. That's what they said. So you won't hear this in church. Right? If you go to church, you just hear God is the, you know, like the order supplier of the world. You know, he's feeding all the people and he's doing that. And if you're bad, then he sends one thunderbolt. And if you're good, then he sends some flowers. And, you know, that's God. That's all you hear. But in the Bhagavatam, right, you'll hear so much more about God. Right? And that's what it's like in the spiritual world. It's full of rasa. Right? It's not a boring place. And the material world's boring. You know, we're not going to do all this devotional service and all this austerity just to go back there. It's going to be boring. You know, what do you do when you go to heaven? You know, you walk into heaven and God's there and he says, "Have you been good?" And you say, "Yes, I've been good." He said, "Here's your harp. Go and, go and sit on cloud 9, right, and play your harp." So that's what you do for the rest of eternity. You just sit there on the cloud and you go. And once in a while, God looks up and he goes. And you go. And that's it. That's what you do. I mean, wonderful. You know, I'd rather stay here. I'd rather become a furniture removalist. Yeah. If that's what it is. No, up there it is full of rasa. Right? It is the place of the highest pleasure. Right? It is the greatest ecstasy in the spiritual world. But to go there you have to become qualified. Right? And it's not so easy to be qualified. Because Krishna wants to know that he can trust you. Krishna will give you everything. He'll give you the whole spiritual world. He'll give you even his own association. But he has to trust that you will not... how do you say it? Yeah, misuse. Like that. You will not misuse that opportunity. Then you have to serve him with love, without selfishness. Right? If you can give up all selfishness and learn to love Krishna unconditionally, then Krishna will say, "Come back immediately." But if there's any selfishness, it will disturb the rasa. Right? Just like Krishna, you know, he's teasing you, you know, and then you start, you know, answering back to Krishna. You know, I've had a hard day. You know, don't you know I made 10,000 garlands yesterday? You know? It will disturb the rasa. So therefore the mood has to be correct. So when our mood is correct, then Krishna will immediately bring us back. Yeyata mam prabhajante tamstataiva bhajam. As you surrender to me, I will reward you accordingly. That is Krishna's promise. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yeah, in the Vrindavan pastimes, then there are the left wing gopis and the right wing gopis. The left wing gopis are unsubmissive to Krishna, and the right wing gopis are very submissive to Krishna. So the left wing gopis, their leader is Radharani, and the right wing gopis, their leader is Chandravali. And then when they expand into Dwarka, then Chandravali expands into Rukmini, the principal queen, and Radharani expands into Satyabhama, who is the second queen of that song.
You read in the Nectar of Devotion about the different rasas, how there's the Vatsalya ras and the Sakya ras and so forth, and you read about the ghastly rasas and so forth. So I was just wondering about when Rukmini, when she's passing out, is that, where would that be capable of, that like a ghastly rus, or what sort of rus is that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I can't say which one it is, but I think it might be mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, this pastime. I think it might be mentioned. I'm not 100%. I might be wrong, but I think it might be mentioned that it comes under one of the rusas. And I think it might come, like you're saying, might come under that rasa. Mm. Like that she's just feeling like that. Because the five principal rasas are called stayi bhava, which means they're permanent. Like you always feel Krishna is your friend. If you're a cowherd boy, you always feel he's your friend. That's permanent. And then the other seven rasas are, they come and go during the day, during the pastimes. So sometimes humour comes, sometimes chivalry comes, sometimes ghastliness comes. They come and go and they increase the rasa like that. So I can't remember specifically, but I think it was like you're saying. I think it's ghastliness.
So all of those rasas, they're all found in Vrindavan, or is the ghastly ras, is that outside of Vrindavan in Dwarka, or is it Vrindavan's complete ras?
Yeah, I mean the seven rasas are experienced outside of Vrindavan, like that. You'll see there's, you know, ghastliness in some pastimes, and you'll see there is chivalry and humour. They're all there in the pastimes. You just have to read the, like in the Nectar Devotion, then Rupa Goswami gives the different examples when he goes through the different rasas, then he says, like, you know, this pastime was this rasa and this pastime was that rasa. And then there was there's been books written after Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's one called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu. I think it's by Vishwanath Chakravarti. I think it could be by Jiva Goswami. But then in that one, then they go into the rasas that Rupa Goswami spoke about, and they subdivide them even further, and it really gets intricate and technical. And then when you get, because especially when you go like Ujjwala Nilamani, which is another book written by Rupa Goswami, that's just about conjugal ras, because in Nectar Devotion Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu he covers all five rasas. But then when he goes into Ujjwala, it just, and in conjugal ras there's just like unlimited varieties and variations, and that's where it really, that's why it's the king of the rasas, because what happens in conjugal rasas is just so, there's so much rasa going on there. You know, there's just so much, you know, it's just, it becomes intricate when you hear the description, then it's just intricate.
So imagine it would be the same with all the other rasas as well, and the different cavalizations and Vatsali rasa and Sakya rasa, the different kind of sub rasas within that rasa.
Yeah, sub rasas, but in conjugal rasa, just like the divisions are just like, you know, sometimes I can't remember even the numbers, but there's just like, you know, something like 27 divisions of different things, and it just goes on and on and on, you know. And then this gopi has this much, and then this gopi has that much, and the Ashtasakis have that much, then Lalita and Vishaka have that much, then Radharani, she just has the full gamut. So the rasa, that's why she's the topmost devotee, because the rasa just, it's unlimited what Krishna experiences. Jiva Goswami says that Krishna can be satisfied just with Radharani. With her, that's enough to satisfy him, because there's so much rasa within the exchange with Radharani that, you know, everything else is, you know, complementary, like that. Just like, you know, when you have a meal, you have the main meal, then you have like all the little complementary. So, you know, we're just like complementary jivas. You know, we just throw a little bit of rasa in here, a little bit of rasa in there. But like Radharani and Krishna, that's where the whole.
That's funny, that's something else. That's why it's so ridiculous. You see these people that try imitating the rasa dance, and they've got no idea whatsoever about the whole thing.
No. There's no rasa in that material, actually. Because the highest thing in the spiritual world, because in the Gita in the 15th chapter it says the material world's a reflection of the spiritual world, and it says it's a just like a tree on a lake. So the highest thing in the spiritual world is Madhurya rasa, and the lowest thing in the material world is mundane sex life. So that's, you know, from that point of view where it's reflected, that's the reflection of that. But it's so far removed from the purity of what that is and the rust that goes on there. It's just, yeah, it reflects it, it resembles it, and that's why everyone's attracted to it. But it's nothing like it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says it's like gold and iron. Mm. Like that, it's not, no comparison. Mm. Any other points?
Lord Vishnu is sitting in the heart, in everybody's heart. So he's sitting in Rukmini's heart too. Then why he's teasing her? So he knows Rukmini very well, that she is completely humble.
Yeah, because Krishna's yogamaya potency, Krishna allows his yogamaya potency to cover him, so that he forgets, you know, like he forgets all those things, because then there would be no element of surprise in the pastime. So when Krishna is in these pastimes, he's caught up in the pastime, he's caught up in the yogamaya, he allows himself to be caught up in the yogamaya so that he doesn't have any conception of what's about to happen next. Right? So it surprises him. You know, different things happen, he becomes surprised and delighted. Like that. If he knew everything was going to happen, then there'd be no pleasure. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, say someone says, oh, someone's about to walk through the door, right? And someone says to me, it's someone you haven't seen for a long time. One of your old friends is going to walk through the door. Then I'm, who is it? But if I know who it is, it's like, okay, you know, there's no surprise. So even it says that in the meeting of Radharani and Krishna, then again and again and again and again in eternity, then Radharani and Krishna have Navalila, which means it's like a new pastime. So that experience of Radha and Krishna meeting for the first time, that is experienced again and again and again by Radha and Krishna. Sometimes Radharani, she has the experience that she hears the flute, and she hears the flute as if it's for the first time. She's like, where does that flute come from? I've never heard that flute before. Right? And she thinks, who is that flute? Who is that flute? Like that. And then one of her friends draws a picture of Krishna on the sand. And then Radharani sees it. She says, who is that person? Right? And then when she finally meets Krishna, the person she saw and the person she heard the flute, she realized it was the same person. And it's like she met him for the first time. So that happens again and again and again by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, so that Radha and Krishna can enjoy newer and newer pastimes. Yeah.
Thank you.
We just want to add a little comment from my understanding. When we talk about, all of us talk about going to the spiritual world, I think the main thing is absorption in Krishna. If we are more thinking about Him always and more absorbed in Krishna, we are, even if we are in material world, we will not feel the separation, as Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita that my devotees are always absorbed in me, he is not away from me and not I am away from him. So that means you are already achieved that state of spiritual world.
Yeah, that's the point.
What is the question?
Just a comment, what that's all.
We've got to be qualified to get into the spiritual world, but if we do a lifetime of emotional service, and Mahabharu has mercy on us at the time of death and forces himself in our mind, will that mean that automatically, that last bit of bad, or what he's recognized to have like selfishness or something, will that automatically disappear?
It can, by Mahabharu's mercy, it can happen like that, but you have to put in a lot of effort through that lifetime. You have to understand what the goal is. The goal is pure devotional service, and you have to aspire to get to it. And even if you fall a little short by the end, but if you've put in a lifetime, you really have, you know, given everything to Krishna. If you get to the end and you just let go of everything and decide, I just want to be with you now, even if you can't fully make it yourself, then Mahaprabhu can just pick you up and like this. Okay, we'll stop there. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.
Yeah.